from the Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, December the 19th, 2023. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey, yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started with
the Daily Datagram.
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call, and who knows, it could be all of the above, you know? Good one here, too. It says, refusing to have an opinion is a way of having one. Yeah. But it would also mark you as a coward. Come back and fight.
Of course, you know, this means war.
Now let's move along to the so-called educational part of the blogcast.
Twisted history.
This is big.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, I know.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Indeed.
You might be quizzed.
All right. I think I can live with that risk. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1932 the BBC World Service began broadcasting as the BBC Empire Service. Because at the time, England still had an empire. Go figure. And it was on this day in 1974, The Man with the Golden Gun, the ninth James Bond film, starring Roger Moore, Britt Eklund, and Christopher Lee, premiered in London. I like all three of them. They're good. Who was more suave? Roger Moore or Sean Connery?
If you're waiting for the big finale, I'm sorry. This is all I do.
In a recent podcast appearance, Tucker Carlson delved into the enigmatic subject of unidentified flying objects, of course known by everybody as UFOs, shedding some light on what he perceives as a deeply unsettling aspect of these sightings. And his comments have sparked a renewed interest in the topic, of course, which has long been a source of, oh gosh, speculation, but a lot of controversy. Also a lot of fantasy. But Carlson expressed his belief that there is a spiritual component to the UFO phenomena that he finds difficult to comprehend. Now, his admission is just adds a new layer to the ongoing debate about the nature of these occurrences, suggesting that they may not be purely scientific or extraterrestrial in origin, but could potentially touch upon aspects of human experience that are yet to be fully understood. Now, he appeared with Clayton Morris on Clayton's program, Redacted. And Carlson had some interesting things to say.
The more you dig into that and talk to people with actual knowledge of it, again, that's another story where there are some, you know, fanciful ideas floating around that are just, you know, there's no evidence that they're true. But if you talk to people who, you know, have actual knowledge of it that they gathered themselves, there are parts of that story that I do not understand at all that are really, really, really dark. It's so dark that I, you know, haven't told my wife about it. I mean, I haven't verified any of this, but this is not just stuff that I read on the internet. I know you all are very, very grounded in that story, so I think I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But there's some stuff there that's just like, man, I'm not even sure what that means. There's a spiritual component there that I don't fully understand. So yes, that story bothers me. And I think, last thing I'll say, that one of the reasons that we've had all these disclosures and all these, 10 whistleblowers at this point, and it hasn't really become front page news. Part of it's suppression. You know, parts of the government don't want you to know about it, but part of it is the public can't deal with it. It's too far out. The implications are too profound. And I understand that. Because I've heard things where I'm just like, oh man, I don't even really want to know that, honestly.
It's deeply disturbing stuff. You know, forget like saucers,
you know what I mean?
And technology. It's deeply disturbing stuff that I haven't even told Natalie.
Yep.
I agree with you. It's so disturbing.
Exactly.
I can't even tell my kids. My kids ask me different stories about it, and I won't say it because it's so dark. It's so dark.
I totally agree.
Miles is watching. So.
Okay, Miles, if you're watching the show, Daddy's not going to tell you about that part of the UFO stuff and what's going on with the government.
Well,
can
I say one thing? They've known clearly. I mean, this is, I think, established, and I feel comfortable saying this as fact. The U.S. government, I mean, these are real, whatever they are. They're not human. And the government has known that for a long time, possibly going back to the 1930s at least. And, of course, there's tons of evidence in the written record, in the physical record, in paintings, and in literature, that people have been seeing and interacting with these things for a long time. So we know that. But The justification one often hears is, well, the government, various presidents who have been read in, not all have been, haven't wanted to disclose this because it would scare people. And I've always thought that's bullshit. You know, you're hiding a crime, which they are, by the way, in my opinion. But I do think there's a sense in which that's not totally crazy. Like, there is some stuff, if it's true, and I'm kind of thinking it may be true, that's so radical that... Well, as we both said, we don't want to tell the people we love most about it because, like, why would you, you know, disturb someone like that? So I kind of get that. I hate to admit it. I'm not arguing for hiding things. I believe in the truth and I believe in disclosure, but I understand the impulse, like, holy smokes, this is heavy. You know what
right.
I mean?
And the government's involvement in it makes it even heavier because then you realize the complicity.
Exactly.
Of it.
So as you can tell, Carlson's statements are profound. He's suggesting that the general public might not be ready to grapple with the full reality of UFOs, hinting that there are truths so radical that they could fundamentally alter our understanding of the world, of the universe. Now, this perspective aligns with a certain strand of conservative thought that values caution in the face of unknown and potentially destabilizing revelations. And as shrill as we are these days with social media and everything, yeah, you gotta be careful. I mean, what about the people who can't handle this stuff? So Carlson also hinted at historical evidence of UFO encounters, as you heard there. You know, citing written records, paintings, literature. All that stuff needs to be considered in this. This is, I won't say that it's mind-bending, but, I mean, the Roswell thing, what was that, 1947, 48, somewhere in that neighborhood? So we've known about UFOs, but it's all been blown off by the rank and file as just, oh, it's conspiracy theories, it's fantasy. But believe me, there seems to be more than just a shred of truth to this. We've already seen some videos that were submitted by, I don't think the Defense Department, but individuals within the Defense Department, showing the performance of some of these craft, whatever these things are, flying saucers, rocket ships, what have you. And during that conversation, the extended conversation, Carlson touched on the government's awareness. Well, we've known the government has been aware of this, as he said, and you heard it. Every president's been briefed on this. So, you know, we have to acknowledge the emotional toll that this knowledge that you and I don't have yet could take. And that kind of knowledge in the wrong hands. Yikes. I mean, I'm kind of encouraged because it's nice to know that there are people who are thinking about this. But withholding certain things that Tucker Carlson doesn't believe you and I can handle. My God. And of course, his call for disclosure was... tempered by his recognition of the disturbing aspects of the entire UFO phenomenon. So while advocating for transparency, he's wrestling with the consequences of bringing very unsettling information to light. So what do we do? I think we just need to go about our lives, citizens. There's nothing to see here. I saw a story posted yesterday by B.D. Hobbs at Houston's KTRH, the big conservative talk station. And he said that our U.S. lawmakers are continuing to squabble over how many more billions we need to give to Ukraine. And while this is going on, our own U.S. military has a much bigger problem. According to a soon-to-be-released report from the Pentagon, the U.S. is struggling to keep up in the arms race with China. Now, every time I hear something like this, the first alarm that goes off in my head is this true or is this just the Pentagon's way of trolling for more dollars? So you have to consider that aspect. But a security expert, national security expert by the name of Harry Kazianis, says we're struggling to keep up with China. This has been a problem. It's been growing really since the very beginning of the Obama years. The Chinese, since the late 1990s, have really targeted the ability to beat the United States in a war. So our U.S. military budget is still significantly more than China's, but Then again, so is our national budget. And in the meantime, China is spending more and doing so on purpose. Now, he says that the Chinese have already stated they would launch a very, very specific strike. They would attack our satellites in orbit. They would attack our aircraft carriers. It would be Pearl Harbor on steroids. They might decide, kind of like Japan, that now's the time to make this move or there'll never be a good time to make it. And instead of being woke, our U.S. military needs to wake up. And according to the report, our U.S. military is not moving fast enough, and we're not prepared the way we need to be. We're running, what, some 40,000 short of active duty troops? And recruiters are having a hell of a time trying to recruit people into at least what was, until very recently, a woke armed forces. Apparently, they have changed their path in this, their rhetoric. They've for at least temporarily, they've discarded the wokeness. And now they're talking about the real issues like the national security and that we need a real fighting force. So let's go to a segment here that aired on the Fox News Channel, Fox and Friends, with Brian Kilmeade. And boy, he was in the mood to talk about China.
China's cyber army is on the attack, infiltrating 24 critical U.S. entities at least over the past year. Just some of the victims. You got a water utility company over in Hawaii, along with a major West Coast port and oil and gas pipeline. What are they up to? Here to react and to analyze, Cockcroft Center for Strategy and Security, Vice President Matthew Krenig. Matt, what are they up to?
Well, Brian, it's good to be on the show. And unfortunately, China's preparing for war with the United States. The strategy here is that they want to be able to invade Taiwan. They're worried that the United States will project military power from bases in Hawaii and the continental United States to Asia to defend Taiwan. And so what China's trying to do is to do these cyber intrusions, lay in wait, and at the right moment, attack ports, attack water supply, attack energy supplies to prevent the United States from projecting military power forward. So in short, they're preparing for war.
Why do you think we're getting this story now?
Well, it's come out now, and I think part of the reason is that the administration, the U.S. government, has had a hard time getting these private companies to take the necessary security measures. You know, these companies, small utilities, aren't directly controlled by the U.S. government. They're small private companies. And so the Department of Homeland Security has tried to get them to increase their cybersecurity standards, has tried to get them even just to disclose that they have an issue. But often they don't want to do that. They don't want to announce to their customers that they have a problem, and they don't want to spend the extra money that would be required for cybersecurity.
And now public pressure could actually make them do this. They might say, hey, listen, my margins are small. I can't be worried about the latest in cyber defense force. Should the federal government play a role in defending these companies?
Well, that is one option, and the U.S. government does have a role in defending cyber attacks against U.S. military bases, against the Department of Defense, and so increasing the government's role could be part of the answer. Another part of the answer could just be speaking clearly with the American people and with these companies about the stakes here. You know, happy talk. We just had the Biden and Xi summit in San Francisco a month ago, pretending like the United States and China are going to somehow cooperate. I think we need to be clear with the American people that we're in a new cold war with China, and let's hope it stays cold because it could get hot. This is going to be a serious rivalry for probably decades to come.
It seems like they wake up in the morning and think, how do we comprehensively defeat America in every way? And we're always defending their next action. Somehow we got to get them on their back foot. Is that possible?
I think it is possible. And, you know, China has a lot of weaknesses. Their autocratic model doesn't work. Their growth is really slowing down. Technologically, they've only been able to advance by systematically stealing intellectual property from the United States. In the security sphere, they're more afraid of their own people than they are of the U.S. Department of Defense. So they have real weaknesses if we're willing to take the gloves off and force them to compete. But I think that does require recognizing that we are in a serious rivalry. This isn't some kind of competition like a tennis match. This is serious.
And Matt, the thing is, do you know what could happen? Republicans and Democrats might be able to agree on this. Just like we used to agree that the Soviets were a threat, we could agree on this, and then where the rubber hit the road would be how we defend ourselves. That would be something we should use to galvanize ourselves. Also, if you see the economic statistics, to your point, Doesn't seem like China's ever been this vulnerable in modern times. They are really struggling with their economy. And with any market principles, it's hard to imagine them fighting their way out of it. We'll see. Matthew, thank you so much.
You know, if you closely analyze the era of World War II, how did that war turn out? Well, it turned out better for the countries who had a more solid economy, right? And that's the way any future war is going to work out. Can we outspend China? Well, we can now, but will that always be the case? So here again, let's look at the economy. Our economy is not doing all that well right now. But what about after the next election? See, so you need to bear this in mind when you walk into the polls to make your choice. How about that old saying, the rich keep getting richer? Is that true? Yeah, unfortunately, it is true. As for the middle class, it keeps getting tougher and tougher. As one expert put it, we're seeing the destruction of the middle class right now. Joel Griffith is an economist with the Heritage Foundation, good organization, said President Biden's made things even worse by continuing this enormous expansion of government. We've seen typical families see their income decline by around $5,000 annually. That's the most significant pullback in family income in about 40 years. For the leftist elites, their wealth has grown, naturally, thanks in large part to some big-time help from our government. Well, the government's largely made up of leftist elites, so they're gonna help their own first, right? So Griffith says that when wealth has grown because of government cronyism and favoritism, that's a big problem. That's what we've seen the past few years. If you look at the wealth that's been created, a lot of that has been on assets that have been pumped up in value thanks to the Federal Reserve. So what's the best remedy outside of another Trump presidency? Well, we have to return to investing in Main Street, not Wall Street. Elizabeth McDonald, who is a host on Fox Business Channel, had an interesting conversation with a former Wall Street investor. Her name is Carol Roth.
Carol, we need you on the story. Reports coming in, we're hearing it from Axios, Politico, The Wall Street Journal, top White House insiders. They want the president to drop Bidenomics. Democrats say it is backfiring. It's going to hurt his 2024 election bid. But the White House is doubling down. Biden economic advisor Jared Bernstein, he says it's working. We have, quote, financially healthy U.S. consumers. Is that true?
Yeah, what's amusing here, Liz, is that Bidenomics came out as a pejorative term. And somehow someone in the White House said, oh, this is a good thing. We can take this. We can put lipstick on the pig and nobody's going to notice. And they try to turn it into a good thing. But the reality is it's not an issue of messaging. It's an issue of what's going on in middle class and working class Americans' lives. And they are being decimated. They are saving less. They are spending more. They were promised that they were not going to have any new taxes, but we know that inflation is a permanent tax on them. We know the personal saving rate is down below 4%. We know that debt is over, household debt's at a record high of $17.1 trillion at the end of last quarter, the second quarter. And so people understand that reality that's going on in their lives. Doesn't matter how you spin it or how you message it, this is what people are contending with in their day-to-day lives.
You know, to what you just said, we've never seen this in the last 20 years. The government, Carol, is now saying that income, personal incomes, dropped in California, New York, and Illinois. That they had recently shown they were going up. Now it's dropping in those three blue states. 7 out of 10 say the U.S. is going in the wrong direction. But Biden is falsely claiming that take-home pay has gone up, gas prices are down, the border is closed, and that his son Hunter has done nothing wrong.
Yeah, I mean, we saw a revision happen last week of Q1 GDP for 2020, 2021, and 2022. They had to revise down the first quarter in each of those years. And what was it? They revised down the consumer spending piece because the consumers are trying really hard. They're trying to keep up. And yes, they do have jobs. But even on that front, Liz, they feel less comfortable. We saw the JOLTS data. We saw the fact that the quit rates had softened. People are feeling less confident about leaving their jobs. So you can spout off all this macro data as much as you want, but that doesn't impact what's happening on the very personal individual level. And oh, by the way, if you want to talk about Bidenomics, you have a scenario where the economy is still expanding, but deficits are still going up. That is completely unusual. Usually when the economy is quote unquote expanding, you have deficits going down.
Yeah,
so they've managed to even screw that part up as
well.
That's
interesting.
So yeah, you government smarty pants elites, you leftist elites, you go ahead and keep killing the middle class, and one day the middle class will be gone. And when the middle class is gone, you're going to realize you don't have anybody to leech off of anymore. Because it's the middle class that props up the rest of the country. It's the middle class that pays the taxes. It's the middle class that takes the jobs that are needed to support a good economy. And if you're going to kill off the middle class, you're killing off the country. The Biden regime strikes again. They've moved in the demolition crews on Sunday morning to start the demolition of the Confederate statue in Arlington Cemetery. Now, it was really called the Civil War Reconciliation Memorial. A fellow by the name of John Reed from Richmond, Virginia's Morning News posted some photos on Sunday of the demolition crew moving into the cemetery with a crane. And I don't imagine that it takes long to demolish something like that. But Congress voted to remove the statue earlier this year. But listen to this. This is what gets me. 41 Republicans joined Democrats to go ahead and destroy this statue. Now, the demolition was scheduled for no later than January 1st, and millions of U.S. dollars are being allocated to dismantle the memorial that was dedicated to Civil War veterans. Yeah, a lot of Southern people had died in that war. Yeah, they might have been wrong-headed, but hey. Anyhow, the statue was dedicated by President Coolidge in 1924. And you might find this little side note interesting. The statue was the most important work by Jewish artist Moses Ezekiel. All right, so here's the background on this particular statue that the radical left is removing from Arlington. No conservatives are behind this. The radical left. And I'm accusing those 41 Republicans who voted for the removal of the statue of being radical leftists. Oh, sure. There are radical leftists within the Republican Party. Anyhow, here's the background. The Civil War ended in 1865, you know that, but it took several decades to heal the war's bitter wounds. And those wounds were very bitter. President McKinley, a former Union soldier, which you may not have known that, but McKinley was a former Union soldier who would one day sit in the Oval Office, committed himself to healing the nation's wounds. Think back to that time. That was a big job. Now, after the Spanish-American War ended in the 1890s, he proposed building a memorial to reconciliation. And his hope was that the memorial would help heal the bitter sectionalism between the North and the South and honor the Southern soldiers whose contributions had helped to secure U.S. victory in the Spanish-American War, another aspect you were probably not taught about in public school. I could just about guarantee that. So along comes Moses Ezekiel, most prominent Jewish American sculptor of the American Renaissance. That would be a period between 1870 and 1945. Built the Reconciliation Memorial from 1912 to 1914. A two-year effort, hard labor, lots of talent, all being destroyed. And it featured 32 full-size figures cast in bronze depicting the universal experience that families faced when their lives were interrupted by a call to combat. And some families were divided, North versus South. Now, this was Ezekiel's culminating work, and it was his grave. Now, the memorial is surrounded by 400 graves in Section 16 of Arlington National Cemetery. Now, one in a series dedicated national healing and peacemaking, including the Memorial Bridge that links Virginia to Washington, D.C. The Reconciliation Memorial was dedicated in 1914, a year before my dad was born. Now, this was the result of the combined efforts of four U.S. presidents, McKinley, Taft, Teddy Roosevelt, and Woodrow Wilson. And every U.S. president from William McKinley to Barack Obama in 2009 has placed an honorary wreath at the memorial's base in a formal ceremony. After 2009, the ceremony stopped. Gee, I wonder who stopped it. So in the aftermath of George Floyd's death and the Black Lives Matter protests, momentum grew, you remember that, to destroy historic American monuments and memorials all over the country. Violent rioters defaced and vandalized the Lincoln Memorial, you remember that? And a World War I memorial, also, among many others. So you have to wonder, how soon before Washington and Jefferson are removed from society? Could that happen? Well, it could, because you have to understand that the radical left is made up of nothing but a bunch of commies. They're Marxists. Admittedly so. You accuse them of being Marxists, and they're Marxists, and they're very proud of it. Yes, I'm a Marxist. So you're not hurting their feelings at all when you accuse them of being Marxists. They're very proud of it, and they're proud to conduct themselves as such. And as such, they want to destroy every shred of American tradition, every shred of real American history, particularly history that ended up, intended or not, ended up making this the country that it eventually became. They're out to destroy us. And that's the way I want you to think of it. They're out to destroy us. Are we going to let this happen? To the Comedy Corner with Jeremy Alder.
Something you should know about me right off the top is I was homeschooled the whole way through without a TV or the internet. Might want to adjust your expectations a little bit. Your boy's got some deficits, okay? I don't know a lot of things. I like to call myself a lifelong learner because I'm pretty sure it's going to take me that long to catch up. But when you're homeschooled, you do realize pretty quickly that it's probably not going to matter how well you do. Like, even if you work really hard, graduate top of your class, like my brother did, at best, you're gonna know a little bit less than your parents. Listen, my parents are great. I love them to death. Wonderful people. But neither one of them went to college. It's actually not that big a deal. But it does mean that I basically graduated with an early 1970s high school education. So I did go to college, and I remember my first day, some guy comes up to me, hands me a flyer, and he's like, "Hey man, you want to do something about global warming?" And I was like, "Hey man, I'm not sure what that is, but would you like to get our boys out of Vietnam? What about that? Why don't we get rid of Nixon? He seems bad." I grew up in Texas, right outside of San Antonio, so I was born and raised. And I don't know how much you know about San Antonio, but it's about 65% Hispanic. It's a wonderful city. But growing up, a lot of the kids called me Weddo. I don't know if that's a term you've heard, Weddo. I heard it so much growing up, I just assumed it was Spanish for Jeremy. It's not. It's actually Spanish for white boy, which is English for Jeremy. So wasn't completely wrong.
Make it a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's Bombastic Blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.